Father, we come before you today. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you blessed us with. It's such an honor to worship you. It's such an honor to come into your presence. And Father, we just take this time to wait on you this morning. We know and we trust that you have words of life to deliver to our hearts. So Father, I just ask of you now that you make my words, words of life. That you make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Let it write your word upon the hearts of your sons and your daughters. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you speak by me. That it's not by might nor by power, let it be done by your Spirit. And Father, I pledge at the end of it all to give you all the praise and all the glory. Because Father, you and you alone are worthy. And you alone deserve all the praise. We love you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to two or three people. Tell them how glad you are to see them here at Word of Life. Amen. And you can be seated. We want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles to the book of John. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, you can lift up your hand now and our ushers will be in the aisles to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it to service with you this morning, you can give that Bible back to the ushers at the end of the service. I made mention 2 weeks ago that at the end of every year, I like to take some time and just evaluate the year that I lived. I not only want to have a great year next year, I want to have a better year than this year. And the only way to have a better year next year is to do things differently than I did them this year. And if I don't know what I did this year, it's impossible for me to do anything different next year. We said this 2 weeks ago, that experience is not the best teacher. If it was, we'd never make the same mistakes. But evaluated experience is a wonderful teacher. And that's where you look back at the life that you lived and ask yourself, why did this happen? What principles can I take away from those experiences that could help me live a better life? And so I try to do that at the end of every year. And last year even, I preached a message, the top three things that I learned from the year. And it's funny, people always bring up one point that I made in that I learned last year more than ever, what you complain about, you lose grace for. And it's funny how people still bring that up to me as something that stayed with them. And so as I was going over these things that I learned from this past year and this year that we're in, I found many things, but several things stood out to me. And one of those things I just felt led to minister on this morning and take some time with. This year, looking back on it, due to the goodness of God and His grace and His mercy, it just seemed this year was, I guess the only way I know how to say it, a harvest time. You know, a year where you just see the payoff, and it just seemed like this year was just a splendid year in my life and in every different arena and every different area. I just saw some wonderful things take place. If I look at my life at the end of this year compared to the start of it, it's at a completely different place. The church is, we opened up a new church here on Lakeland. We went to three services, and just even personally and professionally, things have changed. And I can remember in about May of this year, I had a lunch with a pastor who pastors a church here in the community. And he's been pastoring now for about 2 to 3 years. And just doing a wonderful job, just getting going in ministry. I'm excited about all the Lord has for him. And we enjoy good fellowship. And occasionally, because we have an early service, he and his family will come to our early service and just sit underneath the word and all of those things and then go back to their church and actually preach. And he said that ever since we opened up this facility, he said it's almost hard for them to come, and he's thinking about not coming back because once his kids get over in our children's department, they don't want to leave the church and go back over to their church. He's only been pastoring, like I said, for a couple of years, and so his church is just getting going, and, you know, they're believing God for things as simple as preschool chairs and tables and all of those kinds of things. And he was just saying how wonderful it was that we were in this facility and how happy he was for us, and just looking at all these different results. And while we were talking about that, and he was just talking about all these wonderful things that God was doing for this church this year, the Lord really began dealing with me that this was not just him working in one year, that this is this year in my life and for this church has been the accumulation of past years. The work that was done in them produced a payoff this year. And perhaps no more in any other time of my life have I seen this principle of seed time and then harvest time. There is a seed time, a time that is set aside by God for us to sow seed. And then there is a harvest time. That's a time where you see the fruits of the seed that you've sown. You see the payoff of the labors that you had in the past. And in harvest time, you still have to work. You know, even as a farmer, if you go out there and plant seed and that seed produces a harvest, you can't just sit up on your porch and say, look at all the seed that produced. No, you got to go to work then, don't you? You got to go out there in the field and collect the harvest that the seed produced, right? I mean, there's still some work there. But oftentimes that work is almost more enjoyable because you're seeing the produce, you're seeing the results. Whereas in seed time, you're doing a lot of work. I mean, you're tilling up the fallow ground, you're sowing the seeds, all of those types of things. But sometimes it can get a little bit frustrating. You can get a little tired because of the season that you're in. It's a seed where you're planting seed. And that seed's got to work down, grow down, and produce roots. And it's those roots that provide the nourishment for that seed to begin to grow out and grow up, and where you can see the produce, the fruits of your labor. And all of us need to be mindful as to what season we're in. If you are in a seed time, you need to see that that is the time that you are in. And there's certain rules you need to live by. If you're in a harvest type of season, you need to see, hey, things are producing. I don't need to relax now. I need to go out in the field and bring it all in. Make sure I don't leave anything out there. Seed time and harvest time. In John chapter 15 and verse 1, John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus is writing a statement or speaking a statement to believers. And he says in John chapter 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. That's a huge statement. We're not preaching on that, but I want you to think about it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. He's saying that as a believer in your life with Christ, it can be modeled after a tree and a branch. He's saying that you are a branch and it is your job to stay connected to the vine, to the tree. As long as you are connected to the tree, to the vine, your life will produce fruit. There will be production there. But he says, apart from me, you can produce nothing. Nothing. Just like a branch, if it falls away from a tree, it's not going to produce any fruit. But notice what he said in verse 2. He says that every branch that bears fruit, what happens after it bears fruit? What does he do to it? Let's read it. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He purges it. Why? So that it can bring forth more fruit. So notice in the life of a believer, there are two types of seasons. There is a fruit producing season, harvest time, but there's also a season where you're getting purged. And this word purge means to clean or to make pure. In fact, it's used in the very next sentence. Now you are clean through the words that I've spoken to you. In verse 3, in that time they translated it as clean. But this word purge means to clean or to prepare. Like our trees out here, you know, we have certain trees that during springtime, I mean, they bloom and they get real big. But once fall and winter come back, we go out there and we purge them. We prepare them to produce another branch, to produce more fruit. And in your life as a believer, you're constantly going to be going through two types of seasons. One season is you're bearing forth fruit. There's production, harvest time. Then there's another season where you're getting prepared to bear forth more fruit, where you're preparing and getting clean and getting pure to be able to produce even more than what you produced in the past. We've got to learn what season we're in. I heard Zig Ziglar say this. He said that success comes when opportunity and preparation collide. I like that. Success comes when opportunity and preparation collide. I was meditating on that in between services, and the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart and said, it's my job to provide the opportunity. It's your job to provide the preparation. We can't always open up doors of opportunity for us. We can't change the seasons. You know, oftentimes things in our life spiritually mimic things in the natural. And that only makes sense because what is seen came from things that are unseen, according to the book of Hebrews. And right now we're experiencing a change of seasons. Although it seems like the weather can't make up its mind. But if I had my way during this season, I would make it steady about 50 degrees. Just cold enough to light a fire, but just warm enough to where I could go outside in the morning with a short sleeve shirt on and get my paper without freezing. That would be, if I was in control of the seasons, that's how I would make it. But right now we're experiencing a change of seasons, going away from summer into fall into winter. We can't control it. We can't control those seasons. And spiritually, too, in your life, there are seasons that are beyond your control, seasons of life that God prepares for us and sets up moments of life for us. And it's our job to prepare ourselves for the opportunity that God brings our way. We don't know when he'll bring that opportunity. We don't know when those doors are open. That's not our job. That's his job. Our job is to be ready, is to be prepared, so that when he does bring that harvest time, we make the most of it. Harvest time can come, but if there's been no seed that's been sown, in preparation time, in seed time. Then when harvest time comes, there'll be nothing to reap. And that harvest time will actually seem almost just like a seed time. Because in seed time, we didn't do what was necessary to produce a good harvest. For instance, like I said, it seems like this year is just a harvest time. I'm keeping up with the growth and changing my schedule and work week to accommodate it. It's a lot of fun, but I can remember years ago, where nothing in my life looked like this. I mean, forget three services. You're trying to fill up one. And you're believing God for increase. And it seems like, man, it's such a purging time, but you keep sowing those seeds of prayer. I mean, everything that we're seeing now, we've prayed out, friend. We're living in answered prayer. You keep sowing those seeds of vision. I can remember going to go look at other facilities and get around ministries that were doing big things for God. Why? Getting that seed of vision in my heart. In preparation time, in seed time, you gotta be sowing the right seeds. And in that process of seed time, you've gotta be patient. I mean, at any time, we technically could have built this building out here on Lakeland. When my father passed away, the ministry, it was completely debt-free. Even during all of the transition, even as a young pastor, we never lost money. At any time, we could have taken out a loan and built this facility. But I look back on it now and see how God has a time and a season for everything. The vision is for an appointed time. It's for a God-ordained time. And so often, if we try to make it happen in our own strength, it only leads to frustration. It only leads to us getting tired. In fact, I was talking to a pastor a couple of weeks ago, and his church had bought a facility that was a huge facility. And it was something that just as a young man, he saw himself being able to get into and saw his ministry getting to a certain level. But he tried to force it in his own strength, and they bought this facility and they renovated it. But then when the economy turned, he had basically gotten in over his head, and he had to struggle just to make the note on that. And it was hard and it was difficult. And basically, finally, they had to come and reclaim the property, and he's having to start over as a minister. I was asking him about it. I said, what do you think happened there? And he said, you know, I saw the plan of God and I knew that God wanted us to do something like that. But he said, I wasn't patient. I tried to make it happen too quick. And he said, I'll be the first one to tell you, I bought that facility in my own strength. And friend, it's the truth. We've got to know God will bring those things our way. It is our job that while he's bringing those things our way, that we stay patient. But with our patience, we also maintain consistency. We continue doing the right things so that when the opportunity comes, we're ready for it. Go over to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, this is one of my favorite parables that Jesus gave. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. There was a period of time where it looked like he wasn't coming. It looked like, man, he's not coming as fast as we'd like him to. He's tarrying. He's waiting. And while he's waiting, they all slept and slumbered. In verse 6, at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, hey, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered and said, no way, not so. Lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy your own oil. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were, if you have a pen or a highlighter, underlined, I've got it underlined, put in parentheses, and circled, this word ready. And they that were ready, everyone say ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. 10 virgins all waiting for the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. What made the 5 people who were labeled foolish, foolish? They took no time to prepare. They just trusted the bridegroom. He's going to come. He's coming. And when he comes, it's just all on him. He comes, and when he comes, he'll take us in. But a funny thing happened. When he came in such at a time of day where they had to be ready for him to come. And they hadn't made any preparation. And when the opportunity came, they didn't enjoy any type of success because they were not ready for the opportunity. The 5 that were wise, labeled as wise in the Bible, they knew that the bridegroom was going to come. The opportunity, it's going to come. And so with that, they said, we need to be ready for anything. And so they said, well, maybe he comes at night. And so we're going to make sure that we've got our lamps full of oil so we can see where we're going when we're going to him. They were ready. They were prepared. And when the opportunity came, when the moment came, when the bridegroom came, those that were ready enjoyed the benefits of the opportunity. But those that were foolish had harvest time come and stare them right in the face, but didn't enjoy any of the benefits of that harvest time. Not because the harvest time didn't come, but when it came, they weren't ready. And friend, I'm telling you, harvest time does come. We don't always know when, we don't always know how, and oftentimes it comes a little bit longer than we would like it to. And that's why the Bible exhorts us to not grow weary in well-doing and start to faint. Why? Because harvest time will come. We will reap. But if while we're waiting, we don't get prepared, while seed time is in motion, if we're not sowing seed, then when harvest time does come, we miss out on all the benefits we could have had. Friend, in seed time, a time where it looks like things aren't producing, but you know God has something for you. You know promotion is on its way. In that time, oftentimes, people get frustrated because they don't see the fruit. They don't see the production. And you know what they do? They get so frustrated, they stop sowing seed. They stop praying for their future. They stop making those confessions over their life. They stop calling those things that be not as though they were. They stop having that vision time. They're excited about it at the start. You know, it's almost like we're getting to a new year. New Year's resolutions are going to be made. Oh, we're excited. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. And when it comes for the first month, oh, yeah, new year. Old things are gone. New things are here. Yeah, oh, yeah. Excitement. And then February comes. It's like, woo, man, there's a routine. There's lots to do. And you know, we said we were going to do that, but we've got a whole year. We've got a whole year to do it. And they lose all of that patience. And eventually, you know what happens? They're not even thinking about the New Year's resolutions. What are they thinking about? life. But you know what the problem of that is? Is if you keep thinking about the life you have, all you will ever have in life is the life you have. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You've got to, in seed time, start sowing the seeds that lead to a greater life. I can remember even when I was at Rhema, we were having a work session there. I worked at a coffee shop. And while I was working there, it was actually Rhema. That's the Bible school I went to. It was their little coffee shop. And so everyone who worked there was a Rhema student, which all means we love God and, you know, we enjoy the things of the Lord. And on one particular work session, we were closing up. And while we were closing up, I don't know any other way to explain it other than to say a spirit of prayer just came into that place. And there was only three of us there, two guys who are now in ministry. One pastors a church in Arkansas and another one pastors a church in Kansas. And we were in there, and when that spirit of prayer came, we couldn't help but pray. We continued doing our duties, but all of us were just praying. And we stayed after it was all cleaned up and kind of closed up and just gotten an agreement and began praying. Well, out of that, a prayer meeting started. You know, it was one of those things that when God does it, you just roll with it. And people started coming. Other Rhema students started coming. It got so big that we couldn't do it in the coffee shop anymore. So this lady who heard about the prayer meeting invited us to go over and use her facility that was located in downtown Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow is a suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma, like Madison would be a suburb of Jackson. And she had a little storefront property that was out there. And so she said, I'll give you a key to it. You can use it whenever you want. She used it just to hold a little Bible study every once in a while. And so we went in there every night. I mean, every night after work, we were in there praying. And many times what we were praying for was for the next step of life. We were all Rhema students in Bible school, knowing that when we got out of this place, we're going to be going over into ministry. And we were just praying those things out, praying over our future, night after night, week after week, month after month. And I look at it now, and some of those, in that time of prayer, that's where God drops seeds of vision in your heart. See, he's dropping seeds all the time of vision, but if the ground is hardened, that seed can never get in. But prayer and praise and worship, what it does is it opens up your heart. And when your heart is open, he comes in and drops that seed, and that seed starts to produce roots in you. I begin seeing some of the things that God wanted to do in my life and in this ministry. Began praying for those things. Friend, that was almost 10 years ago. And some of those things that I was praying for, and some of those things that I saw, I haven't seen in my life. But it's a seed that was planted. There are other things that I look out right now and I see exactly what the Lord showed me. I'm living in exactly what we prayed. And I'm seeing it, and I see that, yeah, man, this year it's been amazing, and God's done some wonderful things, but God was at work 10 years ago when he moved upon the heart of a couple of Rhema students to begin praying. That was God at work. Now we're just enjoying the fruits of that work. You see what I'm saying? In your own life, see, this stuff, it's not just reserved for preachers. Whereas I'm praying for ministry, what type of career has the Lord led you to? Maybe you're at a stage of life right now where you don't know what's next, but you know it's something different. You need to sow seeds now so that when God brings that opportunity for your life to change, you're prepared for what the Lord has prepared for you. How can you sow more seeds of vision in your own heart right now? What can you be speaking over your future right now? What seeds do you need to be sowing right now? Earlier this year, I went to a minister's meeting. And actually, it was not just a minister's meeting, but there were believers from all over there. And I went into it. It was in March, so it was about a month before we moved into this facility. And I kid you not, I mean, we're opening up a new facility. There's excitement in the air. Obviously, I'm excited. It's something new and new opportunities. I've got all this vision for what I want to see the Lord do. And at this meeting, the Lord starts speaking to my heart, not about this, but the next step after this, and started showing me even greater things with this ministry in phase two and then phase three, this church and this ministry. And you know what? All the while I'm in the hotel room and I'm walking and the Lord's dealing with my heart about these things. And then that night in service, you know what the Lord did? He prompted my heart to sow a seed into a particular ministry for $100,000 from this church into that ministry. Now that's at a time where we're building a new building. We are, fisting to open up a new building. And, you're right there, and I mean, you've got to buy a whole bunch of stuff, and, you know, the Cheerios back here, and all this other kind of, that stuff costs money. It costs money to do, and you're thinking about all those types of things, and all the check requests that you're approving, and the Lord's dealing with you at this time to sow seed. But what's He doing? In the middle of a harvest time, He's preparing me for the next harvest. See, I actually think that it's God's will for us to go from harvest to harvest to harvest. But I think so many people get a little bit lazy in harvest time that they don't sow the seed that they need to sow. I was talking to a minister. It's actually Nathaniel Wolf, who was here last Sunday. And after we prayed for everyone in the third service, we went over and had some lunch and we were talking. And he was talking about there's another minister out there who is a missionary over in Russia who just printed out a book that highlights Paul's journey throughout Ephesus and all those different places. And in it, he was talking about stars, that in the book of Revelation, John saw stars in the Lord's hand, and he was giving a point-by-point analysis of what that meant. And this minister was talking about, and I hadn't read the book, but Nathaniel Wolf had, how that stars have different types of glory to them, a different type of shine. And there's one particular star that from where we're at now, and there are several stars like this, that appear very, very bright. And on the exterior, they are active and they are hot. And, you know, flares are jumping out. And because of that, they appear very, very bright. They have all of this external activity going on. But with all of that activity, it comes at a price. Those stars actually burn out a whole lot faster. And while they have all of this activity going on the outside, on the inside, they're not near as hot. So they burn out a whole lot quicker. They don't last very long. But there's another type of star that from the earth, it doesn't look very bright. There's not a whole lot of activity going on its surface. There's not a whole lot of flares jumping out and all of this external activity. But on the inside, it is hotter than hot. On the inside, at its core, it is burning and has been burning for millions of years, will burn even longer. While the other star has all this external activity and burns out so much faster, this other star that doesn't have near the external activity, it's actually going to last a whole lot longer, produce a whole lot more fruit, because on the inside, there is a burning sensation there. There is a fire that's burning deep there. That's symbolic of a lot of things, I think. But for today's illustration, we'll use it as this. You can live one of two ways Very, very natural, surface living, going from one thing to the next. One thing to do today to the next. Living life the same way you've always lived it. And have these flares that shoot up every now and then. And lots of activity, just busy. Going around, just busy. But friend, I'm telling you, that comes at a price. If at the core, if the core is not hot, and basic Bible beliefs and principles are not hot, it comes at a price to have all of that other activity. God's plan for us is to live a very peaceful, restful life. Even in sowing time, in seed time, living a very peaceful, restful life. We're patient, knowing God's going to work things out. God's going to bring the opportunities. We're not trying to force things. We're not trying to force relationships. We're not trying to force promotion. We're just waiting on the Lord. But all the while we're waiting, it's not that we're not active. On the inside of us, there's confession being made. There's vision that's churning. There's a prayerful heart waiting on the Lord. There is morning devotionals. There's praise and worship. And while we may not be the most flamboyant, on the inside there is a burning desire for God. And yes, we have natural things and there is a shine that people see at work. But on the inside, we're steadily and consistently moving to what God has us to, sowing that seed day after day. There's a story in the Old Testament about a man named Nehemiah. One of my favorite stories. His hometown was a place called Jerusalem. And he was working in a distant place for a king, had a good position. And someone came and gave him word that the walls of his hometown had been destroyed. That cut him to the core. He loved Jerusalem. He loved his hometown. And in the process of taking this up to the Lord in prayer as to why this happened, the Lord actually put vision in his heart. Once again, in prayer, that's when that vision came. The Lord put vision in his heart for him, someone who didn't have a lot of esteem or a big following back in Jerusalem, to go back home and rebuild the walls. So he talked it over with the king, and the king actually, I believe, had God move on his heart, and he gave him some plans to go ahead and some resources to go ahead and do it. And he went back to Jerusalem, and this vision was so big within him, it started attracting all the things that he needed. It wasn't that he was so outwardly flamboyant. It was this vision pulsating on the inside drew everything that he needed to get the job done. The people started coming. He gets this following and they go to work on the walls. It's already supernatural that this guy no one has ever heard of is now rebuilding these walls. And he's working on it. But just like in your life, the same thing happened in Nehemiah's life. The enemy came to get him to stop working on those walls. He brought battles along his way, and they were all to distract him. But you know what Nehemiah did? And I love this. The Bible said that he kept a sword in one hand and a tool in the other. That even while he's fighting these battles, he's still continuing the work of the Lord, brick by brick. Brick by brick, rebuilding these walls. It didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen in an hour. It wasn't one week of, yeah, let's rebuild walls. But then the next week, all these distractions fighting these battles. He said, yeah, I know things are going to come up. So I do have a sword in one hand, but I'm not laying down my tool either. I'm going to keep steadily building what God told me to do. I think that's symbolic in our lives, that there will be things that come up in the natural that we have to deal with. We all have jobs. We all have responsibilities. And we have to deal with those things. But at the same time, we can't leave the spiritual things undone. There's still faith that needs to be released. There's still confession that needs to be made. There's still seeds that need to be sown. And while we're dealing with all of these natural things, we can't leave the spiritual undone. After the battles didn't work, the devil stirred up people to come and harass him. You probably never had anyone harass you or bother you, but all they were was trying to distract him to come off the wall. All of those issues that you deal with other people, all it is there to distract you from doing the things that you need to do to get the job done. It's trying to produce more flares so that you lose that inward heat, lose that passion for prayer and a passion for the vision. But you know what? Nehemiah wouldn't come off that wall. He wouldn't put the tool down. He wouldn't be distracted by them. Day after day, just laying one brick at a time. And you know what? Supernaturally, that wall was built quick. It was built fast. In fact, it was built so fast that it was a sign and a wonder to every other nation. But the way it happened suddenly was a process. The suddenly was the point that all the nations were pointing to. But it was the process of the day in, day out little stuff that Nehemiah would point to. See, everyone looks at, this type of deal and says, oh, it's success, three services, new building. But that's not the true success. The success is when you're up to your eyes in problems, you still confess God's word. When it seems like everything is falling apart, you make a decision to keep your peace. When people are trying to get you in strife, you make a decision to hold on your love. What is that? It's burning on the inside. And friends, I'm telling you, if you keep sowing those seeds, eventually you'll move from that pruning process to the fruit-bearing process. Oh, and when you get there, the work is still, you're still working, but ooh, it's sweet. Oh, it's a good place to be. But you've got to keep your focus. You've got to keep your focus on what matters most. You've got, he was talking about last week with the vantage point. There's so many things that you have to do, but don't forget where you're going. Don't forget the seeds that you need to sow, the things that you need to do. All this other stuff that comes up, all it is distractions to get you off the plan God has for you. So that when harvest time comes, you don't reap anything because we played instead of preparing during sowing time, seed time. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. I could keep going on and on. I promise you. I've got a lot of notes, haven't got into hardly any of them. But that's okay. That's okay. Let's bow our